Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
And welcome to episode 3 of The Kitchen Table. This is a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time you're listening to this. That's the thing about podcast.
The Truman Show right
Truman
there.
Show, yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Hey, my name is Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And welcome to the third episode, The Kitchen Table. And why we're doing this podcast is real simple. We want to encourage conversations between parents and their teenagers or their young adults when it comes to faith issues. Jake's now finished high school, heading into college. We're taking time to do this, and hopefully we'll just continue doing this for a while and try to answer as many faith questions as we can, celebrate some music, and also talk about what's happening culture-wise in our segment we call Culture Shock. Faith question for today.
With the amount of arguments that is between Christians.
Yes.
Like predestination or free will or seven-day creation or I don't know what the proper name is, but like right. Where creation took over a long period of time. Like, why do we fight about it?
So why do Christians argue?
Yes. About biblical things.
Biblical things, theology, and those kinds
like
of things.
Like, if we all believe the same thing, why do we need to argue?
Well, we argue about a lot more than just that. You know, we argue about a lot of issues of politics, and politics is not something we want to discuss on our podcast, and so we'll avoid that at all costs. We want to talk about faith issues, but arguing as Christians is definitely a faith issue. The fact of the matter is, and the bottom line, we aren't perfect.
Oh, yeah.
We aren't perfect. It's all up to interpretation, and it's all down to the sinful nature that we have as humans and being selfish. There's a great book, I think it's called Pendulum, and it looks through history, through centuries of history, and how we've had this pendulum shift between the me side of things and the we side of things. And I think it's like a 40-year swing.
Really?
So to go from the extreme of the me to the extreme of the we is 80 years. And it looks through events of history. It's quite fascinating on how they have shown that our understanding as a culture, when we're focused on me, how different it is when we have that mentality of focusing on the we, which is much healthier.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
When it comes down to that, we want it our way. We're selfish people. And Scripture completely tells us, Jesus tells us, to put others first, you know? And when we don't do that, that's when we argue. And we do these petty things when we fight with each other, and that causes us to fight more. Jesus wants us to have an attitude of putting that other person's thoughts first. Even in parenting, you got to pick your battles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Christian faith, you got to pick your battles. Is that version of Scripture better than the other version of Scripture? Really? Does it matter? You know, there's the argument, and people have built their entire ministry, like you mentioned, on creation. Creationism versus evolution. Did it happen in 6 days and a day of rest? Did it happen over thousands of years? Bottom line, does that matter for salvation? You know, my answer has always been, if God wanted to create the universe in 6 days, yeah, he could do it.
No.
If God wanted to create the universe in thousands of years, yeah, he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter for my salvation as a follower of Jesus Christ? No.
Yeah, I think, like, with why does it matter? We shouldn't argue about that because we'll get the answers when we go and die into heaven. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like my first thing. I've told people this. When you pass away and your spirit goes to heaven, which is what we believe.
Yeah.
It's a faith thing. We don't know. I haven't been there. And I think the first thought in my mind once I cross over is, oh.
Yeah.
Because you will get all the answers you ever had in your life. And at that point, honestly, it won't matter. The answers to the questions really won't matter, and we'll be sort of embarrassed at how selfish we were as human beings in just trying to think about those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
God hates discord. Scripture says so. Corinthians 12:20, Galatians 5:15, James 3:14, Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." That's completely counterculture for the way we are today.
Yeah.
Others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also the interest of others. Isn't that amazing to say? God hates discord. His spirit is what guides us, the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that a little bit in the last podcast. The Holy Spirit transforms us, and it transforms others. And we can't judge people when they don't understand. And this is the biggest issue when it comes to disagreements, especially when it comes to Scripture. We all run back to Scripture because we interpret Scripture differently. Mm-hmm. And we get into these silly arguments based upon Scripture, which is many times completely taken out of context. I found it really interesting this week. I got a phone alert on my phone from a CNN article. The most misquoted Bible verses.
Isn't it Philippians 4:13?
Of all time. I didn't look at the list, but I did find it rather ironic that that was a news story on CNN. Oh. Nonetheless, but that's true. We get into these silly arguments, and it's really not worth it.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Some scriptures that talk about what God wants from us. Let's do that. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I think we're going to look back on this time in the history of the planet mm-hmm. and question whether social media was a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because when you have social media, you can get into many more arguments a lot quicker with people.
I mean, just like from seeing from my friends, around the time where all the, like, the walkouts for school shooting, mm-hmm. like, there was so many arguments on Facebook about it. And I was just like...
Yeah. And it's not worth it. I've taken a personal stance where I will not get into theological discussions or political discussions on social media. Trust me, there have been many times that I have typed something up.
And then you just delete it.
And I check my, you know, check the Spirit speaking to me, and I'm like, delete, delete, delete,
as
delete.
As John Chris would say, check yourself.
Check yourself. There you go. And I think that says a lot more. Like the meme goes around and says, you've never convinced somebody to your side by posting something on Facebook. You know? Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, it's causing more damage because information is always out there, and we're able to express our opinions, and it's almost like we've removed our filters. And you get in this argument. And it's interesting, you know, because I use social media as a ministry tool. I will put positive little thoughts out there a couple times a day. And the reason I do that, because if you think about Facebook as like your church, your profile as your church. Uh-huh. You know, I have a church of almost 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. And I deliver 2 sermons a day. They're short little thoughts, quotes. And I leave them open for discussion, absolutely. But the reason I do that, and it had happened totally by accident. It was really, you know, God is, I guess, the one that orchestrated it, is I started just putting that up there. And then I stopped doing it. I did it regularly for a while, and I stopped doing it.
And then people came to you and was like, where's
Well, they're sending me private messages. Hey, I missed those thoughts you have, those quotes. And so I started it up again. And because within my, if you want to call it church, within my uh-huh. church, you have people that are atheist agnostic. You have people that sexual orientation is different from mine, who are practicing Wiccan, that are a part of my Facebook group. And these are just people that I've gone to school with at some point or another over my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And we're friends on Facebook. It's interesting that the people that, you know, again, my judgmental teenage self, that I thought would be in prison today from my teenage years, they're the ones that are sending me the private messages
really?
On Facebook. And they're saying, hey, I really appreciate that. Or they're asking me a question about something, you know, a faith question. Or they're saying, hey, I'm really struggling right now with this. Will you pray for me?
That's awesome.
So in essence, it's become its own ministry. Now, what would happen if I change the way I put content out on social media? If I talk politics, then I would lose the opportunity mm-hmm. to speak Christ's love into people's lives. And
it's
that's what
like
happens.
Like losing your representation.
Exactly. You would damage your representation as a follower of Christ mm-hmm. by arguing.
And I think that's where the human nature of judgment comes in, because like people think that Christians should be perfect all the time, but we're not. And I think that's why it's so hard, because your human nature is to argue with people. I mean, that's just sin came into the world, and that's what it is.
It's that self-centeredness uh-huh. again, that selfishness. Yeah.
And so I think that's just why it's so easy to argue. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Well, I know that it will damage your reputation, I guess, is what you're representing. And you're supposed to be representing Christ more than anything. Other verses, Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Many times being silent. Now, right now in our culture, and it's interesting, we just had a research project that we were a part of people that listen to Christian radio. The biggest tune-out factor is when you get judgmental and you're picking people apart, that's the biggest tune-out factor, higher than anybody else. Right. And we don't do that. You know, we don't do that. But unfortunately, some people do, and they use media to do that. They use social media to do that. And that's not what people are there for, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not why we exist. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. I struggle with patience, you know, in different areas of my life. You know that.
Oh, I do know
that. Yeah, I knew he's going to interject
that is,
there.
That is a...
But the dangerous thing is to ask God to help you with your patience level. Because when you ask God, Lord, help me with my patience level, what's going to happen?
You're gonna feel guilty anytime
Guilty is a part of it, but he's also going to put you in situations that are going to stretch your patience level. I think I'm living in one right now, actually.
Yeah, I was like...
Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. This is all scripture. Proverbs 23, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Proverbs 29:22, an angry person stirs up conflict, a hot-tempered person commits many sins. To some New Testament stuff here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is verses 23 and 24. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. That's good. This is just flat out scripture here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. I left this one in there because it's fathers and children. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Challenging. Matthew 5:22, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to a brother and sister, raca, now raca is a word that means worthless or empty, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, some people have taken that verse and twisted it, saying, mm-hmm. hey, you call someone a fool, you're going straight to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. They miss the point there. The point is, our words mean something. Arguing with others means something. That our language and our countenance is seasoned with the love of Christ. That is what he wants for us. Colossians 3:7-9. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Now, this is the tough part. We are in the business of sharing Christ with others. As followers of Christ, we are called to share Christ with others. When someone accepts Christ, they have to be nurtured. In fact, let me find that scripture I saw earlier here. We have to be nurtured in the faith. There's a part of scripture that talks about how he talks to specifically children and to young people and to fathers, and how there's this maturing thing that happens, and age has nothing to do with it. When you're a believer in Christ, a new believer in Christ, you're like a child. You're learning. Now, for us mature believers or us maturing believers— Mm-hmm. We sometimes get it wrong. We expect things from people right away. We expect their life to be completely changed. And God can do that, and I have no situations like that. But there are others that are still rough around the edges, and they're learning.
Really?
They are learning. And so for us to put aside the judgment of the now and the possibility of the future and what's out there and what that person is becoming, because we're becoming as well. We're all on, I think I've mentioned it before, we're all on this discipleship journey, and we're all at different points on that journey, and you know what? That's perfectly okay. We're all at different points, but the whole purpose of that journey is to keep moving forward, speaking the love of Christ to others, and becoming more like him every day. That's what moves you further down the journey line, and it's our job to help others along, maturing in their faith as well. And we can't do that when we get into quarrels with them, when we mm-hmm. fight with them, when we argue with them over petty things within Scripture or petty things in the church culture.
Yeah.
You know, well, we've always done it this way. We can't do it that way. You know, one of the biggest arguments churches have, what color to carpet to put in the sanctuary.
Really?
Yeah. That actually has divided churches. It is ridiculous. It really is. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast on faith, music, and culture. So why do we argue? Why do we get into fights? Tim Keller, who I love, he recently stepped down from his congregation in New York City, sort of like retiring, I think. He's still going to be writing, of course. I follow him on Twitter. He actually, in talking to a publication, said that we can do a far better job of patiently listening. And that's the problem. We want our voices to be heard so quickly that we speak first and then we don't listen.
Yeah.
We don't listen because what we're doing is we're thinking about what we're going to say next. And we just need to, how do we do that? Again, it comes down to that selfish. We want our voice to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we change that? He also says, you can't argue someone into the kingdom. That is so true.
Wow.
I honestly believe with the political climate we have right now, with the bickering that's going on in politics right now, and we're not going to get into it. You know what I'm talking about. What kind of witness is the evangelical church? They've hijacked even the word evangelical from us today. As a follower of Jesus Christ, what kind of witness, what kind of damage is being done currently in our environment, in our culture right now, because we're trying to argue points because we want to defend our faith? The history of Christianity, man, we've had some dark periods. We really have. The Crusades, dark period. We have overcome them. Revival has happened again and again. We are in a point now where we need another great awakening in our country. There are great awakenings that happen all around the world, but they're happening now in Latin America and Sub-Saharan Africa. That's where the great awakenings are happening. We need that here as well. Otherwise, I don't know how we're going to turn this thing around.
Yeah.
We need to learn how to have better conversations. Again, back to James in 1:9, we need to make every effort to be quick to listen and slow to speak. How do we do that? How are we able to adjust ourselves to be quick to listen and slow to speak?
I think that's what needs to happen. I feel like a lot of today's society, from the youth standpoint, I feel like our voices are undermined, you know what I mean? I feel like adults think of us as lesser people because we have an experience, but we have completely different experiences.
True.
Whenever you say, back in my day, like
the old, loves it when I say that.
The old dad thing to say.
Hey, I walked to school uphill both ways five
miles.
No,
you did not.
Snow.
I've been to Beardstown, Illinois, and there are no hills.
You're right.
I just think that we grew up totally different lives.
True.
I grew up out of the country. You grew up in a small town in Illinois. And I think I can bring teenagers and youth can bring a new aspect into church, into school, into this world. And I feel like we're undermined by that.
I agree with that. And I've always been an advocate for listening to younger generations, giving them a place to,
yes, you have.
To have their voices heard.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
One of the people I love most in the world, his name is Bob Goff. He's written a couple books.
You love his books.
I do. I've seen him speak a couple times in person. I just think he's an amazing guy. He is a guy that's got more figured out than most people I know. He's got way more figured out than I possibly can know. He wrote a book called Love Does. I recommend that. And then his most recent book, which came out this spring, Everybody Always. We're actually, as a staff at Shine.fm, working through this book during our staff gatherings we do on Tuesdays where we gather and pray together. I was at a conference a few years ago that Bob spoke at. And when he got there at this conference and he got up on stage, he was just laughing. He's like, I have to tell you guys what happened to me. And he tells a story about his ride from the airport to the hotel.
Really?
The conference basically gave him a limousine that picked him up and brought him to the conference.
Yeah.
Bob just does things differently. And I'm not going to give all the things he does, but read his books, because one of the things he does that's different is he puts his cell phone on the back page of all his books. And if you want to call him, you can call him on his cell phone. Now, he's a lawyer, semi-retired in San Diego. He works for an African country as like their chief counsel kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, amazing things. He's set up rescue homes from human trafficking in Africa and orphanages and different things. That's what he does with the proceeds from all of his books.
Wow.
He was talking in this most recent book, he talks about that experience of that limo driver, because what happened was he's talking to this limo driver, and again, he uses him by name.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly who he is. He basically switches places with this guy. He says, get out. I want to drive you there because this guy's
so
never
he drove the limo.
He drove the limo. Probably illegal.
I was like, is that proper licensing?
I don't know, but probably not. You know, the insurance like, wasn't was there like, for sure. But he says this in his book about the experience at the end of it. He says, I carry medals with me all the time. They don't say anything on them. I'm a lawyer, so the medals mean whatever I say they mean. I open the door to let my limo driver friend out from the back seat as they arrived at the airport. He stood up and straightened his jacket, and I was still wearing his hat. I pinned a medal on his chest and said, you're brave. You're courageous. You're foolhardy. Did you see how I took that last turn? I spoke words of truth and affirmation to him with a smile. I patted him on the chest. When the limo driver went home that night to the woman he's been living with for the past 10 years, do you think he told her about a Christian guy that day who told him he was supposed to be married? Of course not. I bet he told her he'd met a guy who told him who he was. That's our job. It's always been our job. We're supposed to just love the people in front of us. We're the ones who tell them who they are. We don't need to spend as much time as we do telling people what we think about what they're doing. Loving people doesn't mean we need to control their conduct. There's a big difference between the two. Loving people means caring without an agenda. As soon as we have an agenda, it's not love anymore. It's acting like you care to get someone to do what you want or what you think God wants them to do. Do less of that, and people will see a lot less of you and more of Jesus. He says, talk behind each other's backs constantly. Just talk about the right stuff. Mm-hmm. Talk about Jesus. Talk about grace. Talk about love and acceptance. People don't grow where they are informed. They grow where they're loved and accepted. Talk about who people are becoming and who you see them turning into. And give people medals, lots of them. The people around us should be walking around looking like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They should jingle when they walk. It's this simple. And this is what it comes down to. Why Christians argue we're imperfect. How do we stop that? Here. I want people to meet you and me and feel like they've just met everyone in heaven.
Wow.
That's a challenge. And that's from chapter 5 of his book, Everybody Always, Bob Goff. I highly recommend it. Incredible book. Both of his books. Just an incredible guy. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, you did a great job.
No, thank not you. Me. It's Bob and other yes. Scripture and those kinds of things. Again, I'm not a professional at this.
But I think you explained the outside of it. You know what I mean? You connected it all.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. It's a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
All right, this is our segment called Music Matters. And I am going to pick a current song that I really like. I decided to go rock this week. You know, the rock genre, is, you know, it's kind of taken a hit. It's not as popular as it used to be. And so there was like a rock song from the 80s I wanted to pull out. So I'm like, okay, let's pick a rock song that's current. Right. One of the best bands out there, Christian rock music, is Skillet. Well, their drummer, who I know you're a big fan of, Crush.
Childhood crush. You kidding me?
Yeah.
I almost passed out when I met her.
Yeah, Jen Ledger, sweet gal. She's from England, incredible drummer. Well, she's also a great singer. She sings on a lot of the Skillet songs.
She's a backup singer for
Skillet. She now has her own solo record out. Her band is her last name, Ledger. And so I want to play one of her songs called Bold, and then I have a little snippet of her talking about the song coming up after that. So here is Ledger, Bold. I'm gonna be bold.
Guys, this is Ledger. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my new song, Bold. Basically, the song Bold is about choosing to line up my heart, my mind, and my choices with who God calls me to be and the truth of his word, rather than what my feelings and maybe my natural temperament wants me to be. Sometimes I struggle with wanting to feel afraid and feel timid, and it holds me back, and it's not what God's called me to be with my life. So the song Bold is a declaration, choosing to line myself up with who God's called me to be and the truth of his word. If he's for me, no one can be against me, and that's exactly what I want to proclaim over myself and remember.
Again, your childhood crush,
Jen Ledger, if you're listening, I love you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so my song for this week is We Are Messengers. They're Irish, right?
He's Irish, Darren.
Oh, the Darren is? Okay. So they're kind of a new band. I think they only have one album out right now.
Right.
But the song is called Point to You by We Are Messengers, and it kind of talks about just come to Jesus as you are, do everything pointing back to Christ. Like, use all of your skills and your gifts and talents and point it to Christ, because that's our mission in life. So here's a little.
Do we do that when we argue with each other?
No, we do not.
There you go. I just tied that together.
Yeah,
you like
good job,
that?
Dad. There you go. Here's a little bit of Point to You by We Are Messengers.
I know you want my heart, my bruises and my scars. I'm coming as I am, the only way I can.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that song. That's Point to You by We Are Messengers and the Oldie But Goldie.
All right, this is where I go back. And because of that rock vein I stayed in, I went back to 1987.
Please tell me it's not Stryper.
It's not Stryper.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Someday. But 1987, and I'll have to set up the story for this one. My mother, Jake's grandmother, worked at a newspaper in West Central Illinois for many years in her life. She brought home, and this would have been my senior year of high school.
Really?
She brought home a vinyl record that the newspaper received to do a review of it in the newspaper. And that hardly ever happened at this small town newspaper in Illinois. And so she never brought home music to me before.
Really?
And she brought home this vinyl record by a band called Shout. The band was called Shout. And
yeah, I've actually heard of them.
And the album was It Won't Be Long was the title of it, 1987. Loved this record. Loved it so much. I had the opportunity to see them perform live when I was in college, and I went to a radio conference in Nashville. They were playing at a club called 12th and Porter in Nashville. It just cemented my love for this music. Now, I was totally into the whole glam rock, you know, heavy metal stuff when I was a teenager, and there was a lot of good bands out there. So this is one of their songs called Winners or Losers, and basically it's saying, you know, no matter what, whether we're winner or loser, in God's eyes, we're all the same. Feel like you're a loser, doesn't matter. God loves you the same. And so here's a little bit of Shout, Ken Tamplin, lead vocals, Winners and Losers, 1987. Here you go. All right, that closes out Music Matters.
All right, now and on to Culture Shock. All right, so this week we are going to be talking about the infamous Chris Pratt and the man he is. I love this man so much. I've probably seen almost everything he's been in. I love Chris Pratt with the dying passion.
So Chris Pratt, for those who don't know, is an actor. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Jurassic World
movies.
Parks and Rec. Great show.
But he's also a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yes, he is.
And he has been vocal about his faith. And so a little over a week ago, he was on, it was with the MTV Movie Awards?
MTV Movie Awards, yeah.
Okay. They presented him with what is called the Generation Award, which I guess is a special award. Yep. It's not that old, I don't see how you can give a generation award to a guy who's probably in his early 30s, but nonetheless, the generation award. And so this is what he said. Being that this is the generation award, I'm going to cut to the chase and I'm going to speak to you, the next generation, okay? I accept the responsibility as your elder. That's what he said. He then went on to lay out 9 rules for living. Now, some of these rules, and he did this very well, and I loved how he did it, because some were goofy, funny, but then he also sprinkled in what really matters.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when we're sharing our faith with Christ, if we do it in a practical way, he brought in some humor here.
It connected with people. I mean,
absolutely.
With a secular crowd, if you're just talking all biblical doctrine, you're going to lose them because they just get bored with it. But he kept everyone tied in because he was throwing in like comedy jokes with rules.
Yeah. And he did it. I mean, he did it in his own way, using his vocabulary.
Oh, yeah.
Very engaging. But I wanted to go through the rules that he gave that apply to faith. And I'll just give the different rules had different numbers. He numbered them off. So rule number 2 said, you have a soul. Be careful with it.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Got people thinking. Rule number 3, if you are strong, be a protector. If you are smart, be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons, so do not wield them against the weak.
Because you're a bully.
That makes you a bully. Be bigger than that.
I love that. This is like one of my new favorite speeches because of this.
Rule number 5 says, it doesn't matter what it is, earn it. Do a good deed. Reach out to someone in pain. Be of service. It feels good, and it's good for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number 6, and this is a good one. God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do, he says.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Rule number 8, learn to pray. It's easy and it's good for your soul. Now, a lot of people were, you know, criticizing him. There's one more here I'll read in a second. A lot of people were criticizing him because he kept talking about the soul. He did acknowledge God, but he never talked about Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. You know what? You don't have to. You know, yeah. That comes later. You're introducing many for the first time to this whole thing of faith.
I mean, because there was such a, it was a large crowd, and then so many people were watching it too.
Right. Yeah. Millions around the world. Okay. The final rule. Nobody is perfect. People will tell you that you are perfect just the way you are. You are not. You are imperfect. You'll always will be. But there is a powerful force that's designed you that way. And if you're willing to accept that, you will have grace, and grace is a gift. Wow. That's just unbelievable. I mean, he's got that platform because of his career in acting. Yeah. And he had this opportunity accepting this award, and I think he just knocked it out of the park. A lot of times we'll see celebrities who will, you know, thank God when they accept some, you know, award, you know, thank Jesus Christ,
they really
and they'll mention
the
it.
Christian lifestyle to back it up.
Again, who are we to judge?
I mean,
people
yeah.
mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you truly believe this faith and you're truly walking this walk, then you should. Your actions, like I said, your actions do speak louder than the words you give. Mm-hmm. He took an opportunity to take it where I've never seen a celebrity do this in the last, maybe in my lifetime.
Really?
You know, to be able to just lay it out there in a very practical way. And I hope and I pray that it spoke to a lot of people and got them thinking.
I think it did, because it was like one of the most trending things.
Yeah, I mean, it went all over social media.
Yeah,
people
did.
Were sharing
it.
I mean, shared it myself. So
that's just, it reaches out to way more people when people are sharing it.
So, Chris Pratt, if by a miracle
the
of a
man,
chance you're listening to this.
The myth, the legend, if you are listening, I will be in shock.
Thanks for being bold, and thanks for speaking truth. So, that's Culture Shock for this week. All right, so that's wrapping up episode number 3. We've talked about, why do we argue? Is it good for Christians to argue? We're imperfect. Season your speech in love. Those are the highlights, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And then we had our Music Matters with The Rock and the We Are Messengers. And then for Culture Shock, we talked about Chris Pratt and the man he is.
All right, so here's the deal. We love your feedback. We love your questions and comments. You can follow us both on Twitter. You can communicate to us with Twitter. My Twitter account, Brian Utter. Your Twitter account?
Is utter_butter99.
All right. So there's our Twitter accounts. And thanks for listening. Again, we'd love your feedback. If there's any faith question you have, please, please, please mm-hmm. communicate with
yes,
us.
Please.
And we will do our best to attempt to talk about it and try to get an understanding. We're all in this together. We're on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all just helping each other along. So thanks for listening.
Thank you. Enjoy your week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.